Thank you, Amog Leela Prabhu, for this warm welcome. I'm extremely happy and honored to be here at this ISKCON India Youth Preachers Conference. I think it is such an excellent initiative that has been going on for some time. And since Krishna consciousness knows no material impediments, now at the time of the COVID-19 pandemic, this conference is happening online. So congratulations to all the devotees who are not only involved in organizing this conference, but also to all those who are dedicating their time, energy and life in preaching to the youths and giving them the most precious gift of Krishna consciousness. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. The topic I was asked to speak on today is, as Amog Leela Prabhu has pointed out, a very, very important topic. Of course, every topic in this conference is very important, and therefore it is nice to get so many angles of vision about any topic in Krishna consciousness. The topic that I will be speaking on is the importance and art of developing healthy relationships amongst youth preachers. So when we speak of importance, we are speaking about why. Why is it that healthy relationships amongst youth preachers is important? And the art indicates the how. How should we develop healthy relationships amongst the youth preachers? So we're going to speak about why and how in terms of good relationships amongst youth preachers. But to start with, a general approach to relationships amongst all devotees is essential, because we must remember that, you know, whether we are youth preachers or pujaris or cooks or anyone, we are ultimately devotees. And this is a very important thing. And not only relationships amongst devotees, but relationships even with non-devotees is very important. So the first and obvious reason why relationships amongst devotees and specifically amongst youth preachers is important is because we cannot do without it. You know, when relationships are very nice amongst devotees, we all feel very happy, very inspired, very enlivened. And when there is some problem in our relationships with some devotees, then it's very painful. And we get very frustrated, we get depressed, we get angry, and it may go to any length. Sometimes devotees leave Krishna consciousness or they leave their services and they go elsewhere because they have problems in relationships with other devotees. So I can cite any number of such instances that I have observed and experienced as a devotee. So I'm sure each of you have also similarly experienced in your personal life, when you have had some difference of opinion with some devotee, or when you are not happy with the way someone has dealt with you, etc., how painful it is. So it is important for us to see that in as much as it is important for others to deal nicely with us, it is equally, if not more important, for us to deal properly with others. You know, we have to, it works both ways. So if we are experiencing pain because of the way somebody has dealt with us, we must keep in mind that probably we have also caused pain to others in the way we have dealt with them. So the point is that when our relationships with other devotees, and particularly with youth preachers, because this is a conference of youth preachers, if that gets affected in some way, then it becomes a cause of great pain and disturbance. We lose our enthusiasm, we lose faith, and many, many changes can happen in our devotional life. So this is the first and most obvious reason why we must develop good relationships amongst the devotees, healthy relationships. The second reason is, of course, that if we as devotees who are preaching the highest philosophy of Krishna consciousness do not exhibit healthy relationships amongst ourselves, then what is the use? Those people we are preaching to are going to witness our relationships. And if our relationships are very healthy and very nice, they will feel inspired. They will want to be a part of such a community where the devotees relate to each other in such a Krishna conscious and wonderful way. But if the new devotees we are preaching to, they see that the devotees are having such disagreements amongst each other, and many times they speak or act in ways that are unbecoming of devotees, they speak in harsh language or deal in inappropriate ways with them, sometimes doing things that perhaps hurt their feelings so much, then it does not send a good message. And I can tell you from my personal life, I will just share a small instance. When I became a new devotee, naturally at that stage one is enthusiastic, but one is also very idealistic, and one expects everybody to be an ideal person, an ideal devotee. So I had gone to one place and there was one devotee. Of course, there is no need to mention names, and that devotee, I have not seen him for almost 33, 34 years now, and I don't even know where he is, etc. Since that time, I don't know where he is. So when I was returning to the ashram, I was entering the ashram one time, I saw him beating up somebody. So, and the reason for the beating was that this other person, who was actually a young boy, had used his slippers to go somewhere for a few minutes and then come back. And this devotee had to go out somewhere. So when he came, he found his slippers missing. He became enraged. And when he saw this other person coming back, then he became so angry that he actually beat him. And when it happened in front of me, I was shocked. And I actually had to step in to physically kind of calm the situation down. And it shocked me so much that I gave up my idea of becoming a brahmachari, and I went back to my other situation in life and said, I cannot, this is too much, I cannot accept this. And so therefore it took me another several months before I could gather courage, and when I saw good examples, etc., then I could come back. So the point is that for new devotees, it is very, very important that they see exemplary, healthy relationships amongst the preachers and amongst the senior devotees. So when they don't see that, then it can be a great blow to their Krishna consciousness. So therefore, it becomes very bad preaching. We may give lectures and we may do so many other things like that, but if in our relationships we are not setting a good example, then actually it becomes bad preaching. So we have to set the example of how a community of devotees should live together harmoniously. And if we are genuinely devoted, we will take trouble to forge nice relationships with everybody. Now, whatever principles I'm speaking about today, it is actually applicable at a wider level to all devotees in the community. But specifically, time to time, I will focus on our target audience today, which is youth preachers. Now, there are a couple of important verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I would like to briefly talk about to explain the why or the importance of developing healthy relationships. In the 8th chapter of the 4th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very famous verse spoken by Narad Muni. I'm sure many of you have heard it. Gunadhikan mudam lipsed anukrosham gunadhamat maitrim samanad anvichen na tapair abhibhuyate. So Narad Muni says, if someone wants to become free from tapa or misery, then there are certain things that person should do in relationship to others around him or her. Gunadhikan, guna adhikan. So if there's someone who has better qualities than us, in other words, if someone is superior to us devotionally in terms of qualities, in terms of seniority, etc., then lipsed, one should feel mudam, happiness, joy when one sees them. Anukrosham gunadhamat, guna adhama. So if one has lower qualities, or rather one is, let's say, subordinate, one is a little junior, etc., then one should feel anukrosham, which means compassion for that person. And then maitrim samanad anvichen. When one is dealing with people who are our peers, our equals, samanad, then anvichen one should desire maitrim, friendship. Na tapair abhibhuyate. So if one follows these principles, then one will become free from misery. So why misery? Because the implication is that if we do not deal with others properly, and when others deal improperly with us, it causes misery. That is why when we deal properly with others, and if everybody also deals like that, then there will be less, no misery in the relationships. It will become very healthy and very joyful to relate. So we see here, this is an important formula for us, how to deal with our peers, how to deal with those who are our subordinates, and how to deal with those who are our superiors. So also it must be. As youth preachers, we are dealing with new devotees, we are dealing with fellow youth preachers. Some of these youth preachers are junior to us, some are our equals, some are senior to us. So we must know how to deal with each of them according to this formula, which is very important. So in case you have not heard this verse, it is 4.8.34 in Srimad Bhagavatam. Another important verse, which in my estimation is so important that it essentially encapsulates the entire mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. Somehow or the other, it has not come to the focus. But I take the opportunity to use this, to recite this verse as often as possible, because it contains everything that a devotee can aspire to have. So this is from the 41st chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the 51st verse in which Sudama, the flower garland maker, not Sudama who went to Dwarka, that is another Sudama, who was the childhood friend of Krishna, not that Sudama, this is the Sudama of Mathura. He was a garland maker. When Krishna came from Vrindavan to Mathura, there were some people who were arrogant and didn't serve Krishna, and Krishna showered his mercy appropriately by punishing them. And there was some like Sudama Malakar. Malakar means a garland maker, who served him with all their heart, and Krishna was very pleased with them. So Krishna asked him, please ask me any benedictions that you like. I will be happy to grant any boon to you. So Sudama Malakar asked three benedictions. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim tasmin eva khilatmani tad bhutesh tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam bhuteshu cha dayam param. So the first thing that he asks for is achalam bhaktim. Chala means shaking. Achala means that which is unshakable. So he wants achalam bhaktim. He wants devotion that is unshakable. Devotion to whom? Tasmin eva akhilatmani. To you, my Lord, who are the supreme soul of all existence. So the first thing Sudama is asking for is pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. The second thing he asks for is tat bhakteshu cha sauhardam. That I want to have this feeling of sauharda with respect to the devotees of the Lord. The word sauharda means friendship, but it means more than just ordinary social or official friendship, as Srila Prabhupada speaks on many occasions in his lectures. The word sauharda comes from suhrit. The word suhrit is the best friend we can have. Suhridam sarva bhutanam, suhridam sarva dehinam. So we will come across this word in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. So Srila Prabhupada used to sign off his letters to his devotees as your ever well-wisher. So actually, if it were translated into Sanskrit, it would be suhrit. Because pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada are the suhrit, or the real well-wishing friends of all living entities. So from suhrit, which means real well-wishing friend, we get sauhard, which means real well-wishing friendship. It is not a kind of friendship in which there is a give and take, in which there is some selfishness, in which there is a reciprocal relationship of you scratch my back, I scratch your back. Yes, there is reciprocation of feelings undoubtedly in any relationship, but it is not of a selfish nature. In sauharda, in true friendship, in true well wishes for others. So tat bhakteshu just sauhardam, that one should genuinely wish well for all devotees, even if that devotee has dealt with us in an inappropriate way, or has scolded us, or has, you know, spoken rudely to us, or something like that. One should not stop feeling a sense of friendship towards that devotee. And one should understand that perhaps something that this devotee has said is a result of what I may have done elsewhere to other devotees. So in any case, tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam. So having sauharda, this beautiful friendship with devotees, that's the second thing Sudama Malakar asks for. And the third is Bhuteshu Cha Dayam Param. I want Param, transcendental Dayam, mercy, to Bhuteshu, to all the living entities. So as youth preachers, that is what precisely the devotees are doing. They're extending the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Krishna, to the young people of this world, the students and other youth. So, for youth preachers, as for any other devotee, these three points are very important. All these three are undoubtedly interrelated. Yet, the Tat Bhakteshu Cha Sauhardam is really very important. Because without this, the other two will become greatly disturbed. If we do not have that loving friendship with the other devotees, as I have mentioned in the beginning of my talk, then we will lose our enthusiasm for preaching. We will lose our enthusiasm perhaps even for Krishna consciousness. So it is very crucial that the spirit of Sauharda is maintained, is developed and maintained amongst the devotees and especially the youth preachers. And finally, one last verse also that I want to mention, and this is again a very famous verse, and I am sure that you have all heard it many times. And this is from the 30th chapter of the 4th canto. It is text 8, where the Lord himself is feeling very pleased with the prachetas, and he offers them benedictions. And he says, Varam Vrinidvam Bhadram Vo Yuyam Me Nripanandanaha Sauhardena Prithak Dharmaha Tushtoham Sauhridenavaha. He says, my dear princes, the sons of the king, you know, you have been rendering one-pointed devotional service to me without any separate interest. A Prithak Dharmaha. And Sauhardena, with very warm friendship amongst each other. So I am very pleased to see your Sauhardya. Suhurdena, Tushtoham Suhurdena Vaha. So I am very happy to see this mood of friendship that exists amongst you. So Krishna became very pleased by seeing this warm mood amongst the prachetas, the 10 brothers. So this basic principle of Krishna consciousness, which is that we must please Krishna, is very important. Because if Krishna is pleased with us, then everything nice will happen. And all our services, all our preaching, our sadhana, everything will flourish. So if the youth preachers also develop this sauhardam, the preaching will flourish, and all preachers as well as the new devotees will become blissful. So therefore, this is the importance of developing healthy relationships amongst the devotees. The why. Why should we develop healthy relationships? For the reasons that I have just mentioned. Now we will go to the second part of the lecture, which is the art of developing such healthy relationships, which means the how to do that. Because after all, some things are easier said than done. Everything in life is easier said than done, because we may theoretically speak about how important it is to develop anything, but when we practically get down to it, we may see that there are many challenges that come up. So we should remember from the Lord's speech to the prachetas, aprithak dharma. So having one-pointed attention to pleasing Krishna, this total absorption in Krishna consciousness without any separate interest, then sauhardam is possible. Such friendship automatically develops when there is absence of self-interest that is separate from Krishna's interest. If the youth preachers have separate personal interests, then to that degree the Sauhardam will not develop. So that separate personal interest may be gross or it may be subtle. Gross means that let's say somebody wants to develop contacts so that later he will create a future for himself, maybe make a separate bank account on the side, and or perhaps take some extra facilities, you know, which are very comfortable, as some special treatment, etc. Or it may be more subtle, like a youth preacher or any preacher for that matter may desire to have a large following of devotees, may desire name and fame, etc. So these things can be very disturbing to the devotional creeper. Although the preacher himself may not realize the disturbance that it is causing, but actually it stifles the growth of the devotional creeper. These are like weeds that grow around the devotional creeper and not allow it to grow. So whenever we see such weeds of selfish desire, like the desire for name and fame, etc., coming up in our heart, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in his instructions to Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should uproot that weed, pull it out along with the roots itself. So we should be very cautious to be introspective, which means to look within ourselves to see whether these weeds are originating or not. And if they are coming up, then we should be very careful to avoid it, because this will spoil the Sauhardam. If everybody works with their own separate interest in mind, then how is it possible that friendship and warm feelings will develop amongst the devotees? So how can this be done? This can be done by strong hearing and chanting. Chanting the holy names of Krishna in japa, in kirtan, hearing the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, studying the books, etc. So these will give us the spiritual intelligence and understanding and wisdom to actually not have these other aspirations, so that we can develop good friendships with all the devotees. So this is very, very important for us, and we have to reflect on it and we have to work on it. So this is the first point. The second point is that we must try consciously to develop Vaishnava qualities like humility, tolerance, seeing the good side of others, and so on. Even though good qualities, they come automatically in the person of a devotee, but it does not mean that we should not also simultaneously consciously try to develop these and put an effort into doing this. We should not think that, oh, anyway, by doing Krishna consciousness I will become humble one day, so then I don't need to act humble now. I will just behave any way I like. No. We must try to follow in the footsteps of great devotees. And even though we don't imitate, but we certainly follow in the footsteps. In Kali Yuga, it is natural that people have a lot of defects. And everywhere we look around us, we see defects. So we see defects in the devotees also. Therefore, as Shukadev Goswami has declared, Kalo Dosha Nidhe Rajan. So this Kali Yuga is a Dosha Nidhi. It is an ocean of faults. And naturally, because the devotees are also living in this ocean, so these faults will sometimes be seen in them. So when we see the faults in others, we should understand how to deal with them. Because when we are working with our fellow preachers, our fellow devotees, some other aspects of their personality may emerge which we may not like, and then we may get disturbed. So at that time, we have to deal with that problem in the right Vaishnava-like manner, and we also have to see the good side of that person. We should not be overly idealistic and expect that everybody should be perfect in every way. That is not possible until one becomes a very, very exalted devotee. So, if one is humble, one also has to be tolerant. So humility and tolerance goes together. And automatically, when one develops the positive thinking, one will see also the good side in others. So one should not spoil one's relationships with other devotees because they are showing some negative quality. Perhaps actually the negative quality may not exist. Perhaps it is only in my eyes. Perhaps it is my defect that I am seeing those qualities. Perhaps there is some good reason why that devotee is saying or doing a certain thing in a certain way. I may not know it. So therefore, we should not judge, we should not come to conclusions very early, and we should not spoil our relationships with devotees because we see some faults in them. We should know that in as much as we see faults in others, others are also seeing faults in us. And who can say that he or she does not have any faults? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to speak about the sieve. The sieve, the chani, is like a small kitchen appliance which has many, many holes. So if a sieve goes and tells the needle, oh, you have a hole, just see. So that doesn't mean anything, because a sieve has so many more holes. So similarly, when we see other devotees with what we think are faults, we should accommodate that person in our heart. We should not develop bad feelings towards that devotee. We should deal with that difficult aspect of that person's personality, but in our heart we should try to be a well-wisher of that devotee and see the good side. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes would get his disciples who were not getting along with each other to sit together, even the very senior devotees of his. And he would ask them to recount the good qualities of the other devotee. And by the time they finished that exercise, they would all become very embarrassed that they got into such differences of opinion and had some little tension in their relationship. So when we see the good qualities in others, and it's an art we have to cultivate by dealing, by balancing out, seeing the good qualities on one hand and dealing with the negativity that we may see in that person's words or deeds. So it is an art that comes with practice, it comes with experience, it comes with seeing others who are very good in doing this. The third thing that I want to mention is that, which is connected to this also, is that one must follow the basic etiquette in dealing with other preachers. Many times we see this happening in the Namhattas, or it happens in the groups of devotees, different satsang groups and so on and so forth, that one devotee may bypass the preacher and give instructions to the devotees who is being preached to or cultivated by another devotee, and that causes some misunderstandings amongst the two preachers. So this is just one example of how we must follow the etiquette, that whilst we certainly may develop good relationship with all devotees, regardless of who they are being cultivated by, in whose group they are, etc., that doesn't matter. We should be nice and we should be dealing with everybody in a very Krishna conscious way. But when it comes to certain things, we should know where to draw the line. and in giving instructions of a nature that may conflict with what the other preacher has given may cause some disturbance. So, where the devotees in question come to us to ask us because they are dissatisfied with their particular authority or the preacher who has been speaking to them, then we should also handle it in a very mature way. We should not immediately say something or speak ill about that other preacher. That is one thing we should never do. So even if the other preacher has made a mistake and the devotee who is affected by that mistake comes to us, then also we may intelligently deal with that devotee, but in such a way that we don't create a big disturbance in his relationship with that other devotee who has been preaching to him. So when we don't follow such etiquette, then what happens is that the relationship between the youth preachers gets strained. This is only one example. Similarly, there are so many other examples like this. Whereas somebody is going to one area to preach, another person goes to that same area and preaches. So many things happen. So there are certain etiquettes that have to be followed. And we must respect this. If we step out of line, then that creates a disturbance and a problem in the relationships amongst the youth preachers. And finally, one thing that is very important also for all preachers and especially for youth preachers is that every youth preacher must learn and develop some basic organizational skills. This is very important. Please do not underestimate this. I have seen many devotees who say, "Oh, I'm just a preacher, I'm not a manager." Okay, that may be so. Your nature may be one of just preaching. You may not be very adept as a manager. That may be. But when you are preaching, especially to young boys, you have to learn how to manage your preaching. You have to learn how to manage the devotees who are you are preaching to. You must learn to manage all the other devotees who are assisting you in your preaching. Maybe the devotees in the kitchen who are working in the background to provide you prasadam, which you can take for your programs. Maybe the devotees who are driving you to the program. The devotees who are helping you with the technical setup and so on. So we must know how to handle human beings. How to handle other devotees. We must learn human relations skills. We must learn basic leadership skills. We must learn how to motivate others, how to take them along with us. We must know how to inspire and encourage people and new devotees and even those who are helping us. So these basic leadership and human relations skills are very important. Apart from that, one must also know how to organize a program. One must know what needs to be done, how it should be done step by step, how things should be systematically done. You know, there are so many occasions that I remember, and there's one incident that I never tire of repeating. And I never mentioned the name of the place, the city where this happened. But it's an incident of many years ago, and some of you may have heard me saying this example, but I'll repeat it anyway. That one time I was called for a college program, and obviously the devotee who invited me and who was the main preacher was not a good organizer, and neither had he got somebody else to do the organizing for him. So what happened is that there was so much confusion at that time. The vehicle was not ready, and then when the vehicle came, there was some problem with the vehicle. And then finally somehow we had to get some other vehicle. Oh, I think we took a taxi perhaps, or some other devotee brought a vehicle, something. And then we somehow managed to reach there. And then we found that the arrangement in the place where we had we supposed to have the lecture was not properly done. It wasn't cleaned properly. And then at each stage, this devotee was arguing with others. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Whereas the fact is that he had not done it in the proper way. He had not organized it. He had not had meetings with them properly. He had not been systematic and methodical in arranging these things. In some cases, he assumed somebody would tell somebody else, and then that somebody didn't tell the other person. And so the thing was not clean, the chairs were not in place. So then he started shouting at the others, why didn't you do this? So that didn't go down well with the other person. Some of the new boys who were being there cultivated, they were not happy with the way things were going on. And then finally I told him, just it's okay, never mind, just let things be. We are not dependent on facilities. Some boys are here, and the publicity had not been done properly, because the boy who was supposed to do publicity fell sick or something happened. So there was no follow-up to see whether the publicity had been done properly. In short, that whole program was a disaster. But of course, we preached, we gave a small talk, and there were a few boys who came. Not as many boys as they were expecting, but only a handful came. But what happened as a result of that? Number one, we could not reach out to a large number of boys, of students. So all these students lost out on the message. They did not get the opportunity to attend the program. So there is a loss of preaching. Number two, those few boys, students, who were there to assist, they got disturbed by looking at the lack of organization, and it didn't give a good impression to them at all. And they may not have been very inspired to continue the Krishna consciousness actively. Third, it caused bad public relations. And to others in the college, etc., because people may think, you know, these Hare Krishna people don't know how to organize things properly. And then, of course, money was spent, money was unnecessarily wasted. Yeah, and by the way, I forgot to mention, the prasadam also did not come in time, because there was some misunderstanding or miscommunication with the kitchen department. And when the prasad, he had to suddenly send one of the students back running in the car to the temple to pick up the prasadam. And when the prasadam came, the serving spoon was not there. So there was more argument. So this kind of thing, what happened as a result, it creates such an unpleasant atmosphere. And for the person who's supposed to speak, he wants to go in a peaceful mind. And if the preacher is going to see all this going on in front of him, then he will get disturbed. He cannot speak and put his attention and full mind to the program. So the preacher is also disturbed. The preacher will be less inclined to come to that place again. And because of the extra travel, unnecessary money was spent, extra money is spent, resources are wasted. And what is very important, relationships were spoiled. Because this devotee had not become skilled in managing the preaching and in managing devotees who were supposed to assist him, he spoiled relationships with them. And those devotees were not happy to assist this devotee when he had programs, because he would not organize things in a proper way and he would not deal with them in a proper way. So therefore, learning these basic organizational skills is very important. Even if one is not of a managerial nature, one should at least understand a few things that are very important. And then one may let others who are skilled in management do it. If one is not skilled in management, then one should allow the good managers to come forward and handle it, and one can just go and speak and come. But some awareness of the points that I have mentioned is very important. One must also learn how to organize meetings amongst devotees in such a way that the meetings become productive. It happens so many times that meetings are organized, and then the devotees are, the preachers are discussing so many things, and nothing productive comes up, no conclusions are reached, whatever is decided is not done, then the devotees lose trust amongst each other. The relationships also do not flourish. And finally, we should, all the youth preachers must learn how to handle money and accounts, basic things. You must know that when you spend money, you must go and give the account to the accounts department of your temple. You must know these basic things. There are instances where I have talked to one young brahmachari who wanted to leave the temple because he felt he was being accused of being a thief when somebody, another fellow preacher, asked him for some bills, for some expenditures that he had incurred in the course of organizing some preaching program. So he felt that, I've given my life to Krishna and you are still expecting, thinking that I'm not going to be honest. So devotees need to be sensitized to these things. These are very simple things, but they cause a lot of strain in relationships and they disturb the young devotees' minds. And especially they will upset the enthusiasm of a new preacher. So the learning of basic organizational skills is also an important part. So these are some of the things that I have mentioned. So to conclude, I spoke about why it is important to develop healthy relationships amongst devotees, because we need it for our own happiness, otherwise life becomes miserable and it will have an adverse impact on our Krishna consciousness. And also because Krishna is pleased by healthy relationships amongst devotees, and when Krishna is pleased, everything flourishes, including our preaching and so on. When it comes to the how, the art of developing healthy relationships, I mentioned how we must remember aprithak dharmaha. There must be no separate interest, no desire for name, fame, prestige, etc. No desire for special facilities for oneself, etc., which will create conflict amongst the preachers. And for that, we need strong hearing and chanting. The second point, we have to develop and cultivate Vaishnava qualities like humility, tolerance, seeing the good side in other devotees, avoiding Vaishnava aparadha. Thirdly, we must follow the basic etiquette in dealing with other preachers and the devotees that they are preaching to. And finally, that we must learn basic organizational skills in order that things will go smoothly and relationships and the preaching will all go on in a nice way. So I will stop here. I think I have overrun my time a little bit. Perhaps, yes. Yes, sure. Yes. Well, general principle of knowing whether anybody is happy with us, it becomes very obvious. If somebody is unhappy with us, that person will show it some way or the other. By word or action, he will show it. So it will not be so difficult for us to understand that. And the way to please our superiors is to do as they say, is to act according to their instructions. At the same time, this is not some kind of an autocratic dictatorship. You know, there is also scope for revealing your mind to the superior in case there is some disagreement, or if there is some difference of opinion, if you have some other idea about how something can be done. You know, the relationship should be so healthy and free that you can reveal your mind and suggest other ways of doing things. So when we say that to please the authority is important, we should know that when our subordinates come to us, we must also give them the freedom to express themselves. We must also give them the opportunity to suggest ideas which may be very good for us, good for the preaching. So we should be broad-minded like this. So by a combination of these factors, we will be able to maintain these healthy relationships and understand whether the superior is happy or unhappy with us. And in case there is a major problem, one can approach in confidence, though, very important, in confidence, other senior devotees in whom one has trust, and confidentially request what one should do to sort it out. One should not go here and there and start giving a bad name to that senior devotee, to that other, our authority. One should be very mature and deal with things appropriately. Okay, so the question is that sometimes the authorities may chastise the devotees so much that that devotee is not able to take it. So I will say, my answer would be that you must feed others only as much as they're able to eat. Otherwise, they will develop indigestion and fall sick. So similarly, while sometimes chastisement may be required, but that cannot be the normal status of the relationship, that you're all the time chastising and only very rarely just appreciating. It should be the other way around. So one should be appreciative, and rarely, if the need arises, according to time, place and circumstance, one may reprimand. Okay, so that is the duty of the authority. And of the devotee who is being instructed, that devotee should also understand and try to cooperate as much as possible. Well, naturally, all authorities and any devotee. See, all of us will have devotees who are superior to us, devotees who are peers, and devotees who are subordinate to us. Even a new devotee, somebody who has just become a devotee, even that young student will have somebody who is subordinate to him because he is going and speaking whatever he has heard to a completely new person. Right? So we all have these three types of relationships. So therefore, with those who are so-called subordinate to us, we must give them that little freedom to express themselves. It is very important. And that is how they will develop. That is how they will feel encouraged and take it on merit. And many times they may give very good suggestions. And those suggestions, if it is practical, if it is feasible, it can be implemented. And somehow or the other, if it is not possible and the authority feels strongly that it can't be done, then he should explain it in a logical way, in a nice way, in a considerate way, so that everything will be peaceful. Maybe the filling of the sandwich changed the composition a little bit, and maybe get different type of bread, healthy bread, brown bread instead of white bread. Maybe try changing the way you are doing things. Try perhaps having other people to help you in this, confidentially speaking. Inasmuch as a subordinate should not go around speaking ill about the authority should also not go and speak ill about the subordinate. It should be done in a confidential way so that the devotee is also not broken. So then when they, so one may take the suggestions and advice of one's peer or of one's superior to see how to deal with a situation like this. They may come up with some very nice practical suggestions. Well, certainly. So, your question is that how to avoid getting judgmental about our superiors and other devotees in general, and that causes a strain in the relationships and breaks down the faith. Well, it is important that one acts in a sensible way. That is why the hearing and chanting is important. That hearing and chanting will keep us properly oriented. We will understand what to do, how to do, and where we have difficulty, we should take the advice of senior devotees. Differences of opinion are not a problem. It is how we deal with the differences of opinion that could present a problem. So one must be a little accommodative, in as much as the authority has to be accommodative to include and hear the suggestions of the subordinate. The subordinate also must be accommodative to the different ideas that the superior may have. So it works both ways. If we want our suggestions to be heard, we must also be willing to hear the instructions and suggestions of the superior. So we should, if we are humble, then we will be able to deal with these things properly. Well, how to see if somebody is genuinely sick when he claims to be sick and therefore avoids going to the morning program and so on? Well, that is something that you have to see using your good judgment. Maybe the person is genuinely sick. What is the problem with that person's health? Maybe somebody sits down and works on that. Maybe gives him some practical tips on how to lead his life, on what to do to maintain good health. And that may help. If that person sees that there is genuine empathy for his situation, he may feel encouraged to follow the routine despite having some difficulty. Okay? Well, then everybody else has to be even better at judging. So it's a question of guiding and inspiring properly, and then it should be okay. But obviously, if somebody is doing it in a prolonged way, and it's going on for such a long time, and then some other arrangements need to be thought about. Okay. But what about the next speaker? I think Devakinandan Prabhu is the next speaker, isn't it? He has to come now. Okay. Okay. I'm comfortable, yes. Well, that is precisely the point I was making when I said that we should not have separate interest. Our interest is only the interest of Krishna. And if somebody else is there who is reflecting well the interests of Krishna and is doing it better than me, then definitely that person should be given opportunity. So there is a question of etiquette, and there is also the question of encouraging everybody. So these things have to be balanced out. Well, there is hearing, and that is why hearing and chanting is there. It is by hearing and chanting, understanding the subtler aspects of Krishna consciousness, that one can go beyond this. So, nobody is perfect, but because there is basic sincerity, that senior devotee will also be able to overcome these things. Well, see, it depends on how you define prajalpa. If you define prajalpa as only reading Krishna book together, as Krishna katha as only reading Krishna book together or hearing Bhagavatam class, that is not the only Krishna katha. You may have practical discussions about how to celebrate a festival or organize a program or to enhance the preaching. That is also Krishna Katha. So whatever discussions you have about Krishna conscious projects and activities and so on is also Krishna Katha. Sometimes you may need to be concerned about some devotee's situation, his health, or any other area of concern that he may have. So that is also not necessarily prajalpa. Prajalpa, we can call it prajalpa when it is unnecessary, when it is not connected to a devotee's welfare, when it is not connected to service or preaching, when it is not connected to hearing and chanting about Krishna, and when it is done with a motive to just take pleasure in things that have no connection to Krishna consciousness. So mundane things that may not have bearing. So, for example, one may want to be informed about what is happening in the current political scenario. Just basic information is there. But if we find that in the ashram people are discussing that for the whole day, or you know, excessively doing it, that is obviously prajalpa. So we have to see this in terms of what it is that we are speaking, and also how much of that we are speaking. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you all very much once again to all the organizers of this ISKCON India Youth Preachers Conference, and I hope and pray and trust that it will go on from strength to strength year after year, and you all will blaze new trails and reach out to many, many students and other young people all over the country. So my gratitude and thanks to all of you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.